if you don't know, Miss Eileen, she is, maybe you've seen her, but she is one of our favorite leaders, special someones in their lives, a.k.a. wife, right? That's a special someone. And she is going to come share. We're still going to, we finished up looking at Luke, the others in Luke. So we looked at John, Luke, we looked at John, we looked at Zechariah, and we looked at Mary. And I wanted Eileen to come share today because not only are the people who are in the Bible, who are in the gospel according to Luke, not only are they a part of the gospel, but actually all of our stories, all of us, we are all a part of the gospel because the gospel is really the life of Jesus and life that Jesus offers. And not only did Jesus offer this life thousands of years ago, but Jesus offers this life and is alive right now living among us and with us. And Eileen is just a testament to the gospel actually lived out, to Jesus's life actually lived out. So Eileen is going to come share a little bit about her story. And as you think about that, think about your own life. And your life isn't insignificant. It's not just something that will be gone once it's over, but your life actually has meaning because Jesus is alive and Jesus desires to know you and to live with you and to transform you. So as Eileen shares, I just encourage you and challenge you to think about your own life and how does your life interact with the gospel, with Jesus. So, here's Eileen.
Thank you, guys. Well, thank you, Silas, for that nice intro. Most of you guys do know me. I'm Eileen. It's my husband, Chuck, over there. And, you know, I used to be a youth leader for a long time. And then about 5 years ago, they had needed some help with women's ministry. And I was like, well, I can't do everything. And I ended up stepping into the women's ministry role. And I miss you guys. This was fun coming here tonight. Just the energy of being here. So I'll try to show up when I can because you guys are fun. I like this group. Now, I know you've been, Silas said, you've been talking about the others that surrounded Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And, you know, I just wanted to tell you guys that these are the ones that all had a place in God's story. When God calls us, and if you guys are here tonight, you're here because you're answering his call. Even if you didn't hear a specific call, something tugged at you to make you come here tonight. So if you're here, then guess what? You're one of those others too. You're part of the story. Because if God has called you, it means that God has work for you. If God has work for you, it means that you have a part in God's story. And one of the best things about being a Christian is that we can help each other when we talk about what part of the story we've played, which is what I'd like to do for you guys tonight. I just want you to know that over time, your part of the story is going to grow and change as you grow and change. God will reveal more and more of his plan to you as he feels you're ready and able to step into it. So if you think right now, well, I can see, yes, God's plan for my life is that I'm going to go to seminary and I'm going to be in ministry. I'm going to go to med school. I'm going to work in the medical field. And maybe 4 years from now, you revisit that. And maybe you see God pulling you in a different way. Don't think you made a mistake. You didn't mishear God. God just reveals more and more of his story to you as you're able to take it and as you're able to run with it. One of the best things that I can tell you, though, the longer you listen to God, the more recognizable his voice does become. Do you know what the primary way that God talks to us is? How do you think he talks to us?
Praying?
You're so hot, you're almost on fire, but that's not quite it.
Dreams?
Ooh, he's hot too. Yes.
The Bible,
thank you. The primary way God talks to us is through his word. What's the primary way that we talk to God?
Praying.
Through praying. Do you know how many times I've talked to people and they tell me, I'm so lost. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't have direction for my life. And I'll say, well, do you pray? Oh, yeah, man, every day. I pray every day. So do you read your Bible every day? Oh, I don't really have time for that. You know, I don't really get to do that. Well, if God talks to us through the Bible and we talk to him through prayer, and you're only praying, you're having a one-way conversation. Of course you feel like you can't hear God. You need to have that two-way conversation. You need to pray, talk to him, and let him talk back to you through the Bible. So that's why I'm here today, to kind of show you what the Bible, what God has done for me, and I just want to share my part of my story with you. Let me ask you guys something. Have you ever had such a big fight with someone? It made you so angry, you refused to talk to that person. You ever been in that situation? A couple people here, it's okay. You can admit to it. I, at one point, when I was a teenager, I was so angry with God, I stopped talking to him for 20 years. Apparently, I have a really bad temper, and I can really, really hold a grudge. But let me tell you what happened that got me so angry. I was really angry with God because of what I saw my parents go through. My parents were both good Christians. They were active in church. They belonged to Bible groups. But both of them struggled with health issues that weren't their fault. It wasn't like they smoked for 30 years and developed lung cancer. No, they lived healthy lifestyles. But my mom developed a heart condition. She needed an artificial heart valve put in, and this was a time when it was considered very, very risky, very, very experimental. I was quite young at the time, but I still remember it. She wasn't supposed to survive the surgery even, but she did. It left her very tired, very weak for the rest of her life. She was in the hospital for what seemed like months and months. The bills were staggering from the hospital costs. My dad, he had a full-time blue-collar job. That poor guy took on two part-time jobs to try to pay the bills. A few years of living like this, it affected his health. Now my dad, who had been a healthy man, now suddenly has a massive stroke. He's left paralyzed for the rest of his life. So now here's mom. Think about this. She's disabled with a heart condition. She's got two young girls. We were preteens getting into our teenage years at that time, so we can't really work. Maybe we can babysit to bring some extra money in, but can't really work a full-time job yet. She's got us to take care of, her disabled husband, a house to take care of, and she has to go back to work with part-time jobs, whatever she could find. It wasn't good. You know, we tried really hard to help our mom cook meals, did the laundry, but I got to tell you, I really resented having to do housework when all my other friends are out having fun. We lived like this for a couple of years. By the time I was 15, you could see it taking a toll on mom. My mom was supposed to have that artificial valve replaced in 10 years. When I was 15, she had had that valve in for 8 years, and that was all it lasted. Mom died when I was 15 years old. I have to tell you, I think at this point, I was just fed up with God. That's where the anger came in. I mean, God hadn't helped my parents. Look at how they suffered. And now here's my sister and I at the age of 15 and 18. Suddenly we have to take care of a disabled father, take care of the house, somehow raise ourselves, get ourselves through school. You know, this was too much. I was so angry with God. I walked away from God and the church, and I stayed walked away for 20 years. So what brought me back? Well, in 20 years, you know, that anger, it kind of softened to indifference. I mean, I'd always worked. I'd always had a house over my head. I always had food to eat. I never had a lot, but I was pretty proud of myself. I'd survived. I beat the odds. I'd been told I'd probably end up on drugs, in jail, pregnant. None of that happened. I survived. I worked hard. I did it on my own. I met the love of my life here. We got married, decided to start a family. We had a beautiful, healthy daughter, started the process to buy a house. We ended up finding our house right here in Randolph, the house we still live in today. Soon we were expecting our second child. Now our firstborn son was born with a rare genetic condition called Marfan syndrome. You can look it up if you're interested. Unfortunately, it includes a heart defect. And our son Troy died when he was only 9 months old. If the catastrophic loss of my mom drove me from God, the crushing pain of losing a child was what brought me back. And it was pretty amazing to see how God worked through my pain for those first couple of months. You know, Chuck and I were still new in town. We didn't know anyone. And the funeral home asked us, well, do you want a church service? I'm like, I don't know. Do you know someone? And this is where God gets really crazy. He brings this pastor to us. The funeral home suggested this pastor would do a nice service for us. And this man knocks on our door the next day. He goes, I just want to talk to you. I know you're not church people, but I lost a child too, so maybe we can talk. It's like, oh, okay. This nice man, he listened to us ramble on for like 2 hours, talking about our son and how awful we felt. We told him we just wanted a simple, short service because honestly, we didn't know how much we could take at that point. We were pretty much at the end of our rope anyway. The message that he brought to the funeral was a gospel message, and he based it on the short life of our son. Now, as you can imagine, Chuck and I were a mess. We really couldn't comprehend much of what he was saying, but we did understand that we were hearing something different. About a week later, guy showed up in my house. I'm with my daughter in the front yard playing. He shows up with a basket of muffins. Hey, my wife made these muffins. How are you guys doing? We're fine. You know, anytime you want to come to church, you know, please come visit us. We're a small church. We're only about 30 people. We're all praying for you. And I'm looking at him like, okay, 30 complete strangers are praying for me. This is creepy. All right. I'm not impressed. I'm not thrilled. I tell Chuck about it when he comes home from work, and he's like, we should go to that church just to say thank you, because he's a really nice guy. We should just go say thank you. I'm like, uh-uh, not me, because I'm mad. All my anger at God's coming back. I'm mad. I don't want to go to church. And it went like this all week, right up until Saturday night, and then it was like somebody flipped the light switch, and I went, you know what? Let's get up in the morning and go to church. Chuck's like, really? Oh, okay. We go to church. And again, we heard something I just never heard before. I'd never heard anyone talk about Jesus the way this man did. I said, this is something different. Came home. Chuck's like, I want to go back. I want to hear more. I'm like, nope. Did my one time. I'm good. Nope. Don't want to go back. It went this way all week, and then Saturday night, that light switch went on again, and I said, I want to go to church tomorrow. That's how we started our journey with God. Those early sermons were just phenomenal. He talked about a Jesus that I had never heard about before. We were mentored by this pastor and his wife. We ended up started a friendship that continues to this day. Within 2 months, maybe 3 months of that time, both of us would bow our knee to Jesus. And that started our journey. Sounds like a really happy ending, right? I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. I still cry over all the loss in my life. I battle a depression that can overwhelm me at times. But see, it's different now because I'm not alone. Jesus fights with me. Jesus fights for me. Any of you guys ever deal with, you're anxious or worried about something? Did you ever feel that, right? When do you feel anxious?
Maybe when, like, in school, the teacher gives me a test that I really don't know.
That would do it. A lot of anxiety there, right? How about fear? Do you ever feel fear? You ever scared? Exactly. How about, do you ever get sad? You ever just feel, like, things happen sometimes. You feel really bad about things. See, this is the difference, though. The difference for me now is that I'm not alone with my anxiety, my depression, my fear. Oh, no. I have Jesus who's with me every minute of the day. The Bible tells us he puts a robe of righteousness on my shoulders, and I can be assured that amazing things like forgiveness, mercy, grace will be everyday parts of my life now. And this is God's story in my life. What about my part in God's story? Well, one verse that kind of shook me when I read it, Isaiah 30:21, it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Since accepting Christ as Savior, both Chuck and I have been involved in local churches. And this is so important because you learn and serving happens best in a church environment. Learning and serving are two of the most important things of the Christian life. All your life, you're going to continue to learn about Jesus and the relationship he wants for you, and service opportunities will just open up before you, and you'll hear that little voice go, "This is the way. Walk in it." I've had the privilege of serving in children's ministry, youth ministry, women's ministry. I've been involved in Bible studies for both teens and adults. I even served on a puppetry group. We actually went to nursing homes and did shows. We went to a local mall one time, did a whole gospel message show. And in all these things, God keeps putting me in places where I meet people and I need to interact with them, people who need Jesus. Sometimes it's just a one-time conversation. Sometimes a lifelong friendship developed. And the crazy thing is, I'm kind of a quiet, shy person, despite what you see me doing here tonight. This is Jesus, not me. I'm kind of quiet and shy. So this constant kind of interaction, not something I'm normally going to go for. But I hear that voice that says, "This is the way. Walk in it." One day at a time, one step at a time, I continually try to follow God's leadership for me. And you know, a lot of times I get it wrong. If I veer off, God pulls me back in. Don't ever worry if you're not able to hear God's voice in the moment. Don't ever worry. He is talking to you. He is directing you. He is guiding you. And if you ever do make a mistake, he will pull you back. He will find up. He will put people in your lives to guide you in the right way. Situations in your life that will guide you in where he wants you to go. I never know who God's going to put in my path next. But I know that whatever person I meet, it's a person who needs to see Jesus. And God wants me to show him Jesus in me. Guys, I know that my story is kind of a tough one. It's hard to hear, I'm sure. It's very hard for me to tell. But these words from Psalm 40 have helped me over the years. And I just want to read these couple of verses to you. It says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned and heard my cry. He lifted me out of a slimy pit, out of mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God, and many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." I just want to repeat that for you guys. I waited patiently on the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Those 20 years, I thought I wasn't talking to God. He heard me. He heard everything that was going on. I thought I was so smart. He heard me. He knew. He heard my cry and knew what was going on. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. Let me tell you, living with anger and hurt can really do some damage to you. And God saw that. But here's what happens when God steps in. He sets my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust on the Lord. A new song, his story suddenly in my mouth. I just want to tell you guys, it's a little scary sometimes to get up and tell your story, but anytime you get the opportunity, do it. Everybody, every one of you has a story. And your story will grow, it will change as you move on, as you go to high school, as you go to college, as you get into the working world as an adult, your story will continue to evolve and to grow with you. Anytime you get the chance, tell your story. Tell people about Jesus in you. Tell people what he's done for you and what you get to do for him. So that's the exciting part. Guys, thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. Thank you for listening to me.
All right, y'all. Eileen, thank you for sharing. It's 8 o'clock, so we're not going to break up into small groups, but as you go tonight, as you're falling asleep, as you're going home on your ride home, think about how might God be writing a story with your life? What story has God already written with your life? How is God calling you to himself? through the ways that maybe you're maybe even missing him speak. Think about that. Let me pray. And before you leave, stay around right after I pray, because I have one more announcement. God, we thank you just especially for Eileen and your faithfulness and goodness in her life, even displayed in pain and loss and hurt. God, all of us have pain and loss and hurt in our lives, and anxiety and fear and sadness. And we just ask that you would meet us there, that you remind us that you are with us in the midst of all of it, and that you are writing a good story with our lives because you are with us, because we have your Spirit inside of us and your Son, Jesus, walking with us. So God, would you speak to us and show us the story that you are writing with our lives? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.